I hereby introduce to you, Mr. Michael Veazey.
Hey folks, welcome back to Amazing FBA. Today we are dealing with the fifth and final part of how to increase your profits on Amazon. So there are basically only two basic ways to increase your profits in any given business at all, which is increase your income and lower your costs. It sounds obvious, but people forget about the cost lowering side particularly. They get very excited about sales and they just throw the kitchen sink in. And God knows I'm guilty of that as a typical entrepreneur. We all get very excited about sales and expansion, right? The sexy stuff, but actually the old costs just tend to creep up in parallel, and that's actually no good. What we want to do is get the income to go up like that and the cost to go up like that, or even stay the same or even go down. So the thing that's really can be a killer sometimes is the indirect costs or the overheads, because they don't go up in proportion to your sales. So you really got to keep an eye on overhead. That really can kill your business profit. But the other aspect that is even more relevant, I think, when you are really making big orders, or actually just generally to keep an eye on just pretty constantly, is your direct costs, right? Which splits out into basically, I would say, two things in Amazon specifically, although it's true for eBay or running your own e-commerce business. One is total landed cost. That is everything, the manufacture, the freight, any duty you've got to pay, VAT if you're coming into the UK or European Union generally, and they are both the same thing at the moment, even though in theory in future they're going to be separated. And then any Amazon inbound shipping and sort of prep costs as well, if you're getting stuff landed in the warehouse in the USA, etc. Right? So the basics are pretty simple. The cost of goods sold is your sort of direct cost. So that splits out into the tangible landing costs, and then of course your Amazon costs as well, which splits out into your fulfillment costs and your commission, the sales commission that Amazon takes off you. Normally 15%, could be 25% in areas such as jewelry, and probably jewelry, I should say. I can't even say that word, but you know what I'm trying to say, jewels. Pretty stuff for ladies, mostly ladies. So here's a few ideas of how you can reduce your direct costs. And this is stuff that you should be constantly working on. Really, each time you reorder something or get a new shipment, I've just got a little list here. First of all, your cost of goods sold, your cost per unit. How can you reduce that? Well, you can negotiate. And negotiating well is one of the important skills that people often get worried about. If that's something you really struggle with, that is something I offer specific help with via the Clarity system, clarity.fm. If you just go to the website, amazingfba.com, you will find on various places, you know, call Michael, and you can actually call me directly for a little bit of one-off help there. I generally don't do one-off calls, but I will do a short amount of stuff via Clarity. It's not cheap. It's $2 per minute. If you want to get better value, you're probably going to need to work with me as a mentee on my mentoring program or with the mastermind. And you can find out more about those at the blog as well. So negotiation, really important skill. You can just order more. So obviously you tend to get bulk discounts if you order more stuff and you just pay less per unit. Now in China, there often aren't such exciting discounts. If you order in the US or the UK, you can probably get some pretty good discounts because there's generally a bit more fat on the bone for the producers. In China, often they run on their rebate from the Chinese government of about 6% or something like that, of sales tax or something along those lines. Anyway, it's pretty small margin. So you may not get amazing results from that, but it does help. Now, another way you can do it is freight. First of all, if you are doing air courier, then you're probably getting a pretty easy, but not necessarily great value deal. If you're going to do air freight, and the distinction is air courier is UPS, DHL, FedEx, someone like that. Air freight is basically anything where it gets put on the plane where it's going to have to go through more complex customs clearance procedures. So it's not so much for beginners, but if you're going back for reordering, then you might want to consider air freight. But most of us are probably going to look at sea freight at some point. And in order to get a good deal there, you're probably going to just need to make sure you get several quotes from good freight forwarders and compare them. And sometimes for the same shipment, I can tell you that I've had some pretty violently different prices for sea freight. So do compare quotes. Don't ever just assume that one person is going to give you about the same price as everyone else, because in my experience, that really isn't true. Okay, just a small hint there. Now, another way you can do it is VAT and duty. Now, this is a bit of a dodgy one, a bit of a grey area, but if you choose to, and I'm not suggesting that you have to, I'm not advising you, I'm just pointing out what some people do. Let me put it that way. Sometimes people will ask their supplier to declare a lower value in the VAT invoice than, or the customs duty on the commercial invoice than the suppliers actually paid them. Technically, it's not a good idea to do this. Some people choose to do it. What it will result in is lower VAT and lower duty costs. Of course, you're increasing the risk of your business exposed to as well, right? I'm not suggesting you should do this. I'm merely flagging up that some people do it, right? So I suppose I should be real life about this. I'm not really advising you to risk your business for the sake of a few dollars really either though. Then when it comes to, so that's your overall cost. So just to revise your manufacturing costs, your freight costs, and the, you know, any other sort of funny business you can pull with the duty, etc. Now, a couple of other ways you can reduce your supply chain costs. If you are selling to the US, and I did this recently as an experiment, if you're selling to the US, then generally, if you've got your first shipment coming from China, I'd advise that you get it landed somewhere in the US in an interim warehouse like FBA inspection, Earth Class Mail, somebody like that, or Easy Prep. They're the ones that spring to mind. And they can check the stuff over for you, make sure it's in good condition. Now, the first time I order from a supplier, I would generally do that. I've got one supplier I've ordered products from for a couple of years, so I know, you know, for better or for worse, what they do. So I got them packaged up very carefully and got them sent directly to Amazon. And that actually worked fine. Now, people do freak out about that and advise against it. Some people who I really respect, like Manuel Bekvar, do it. And once again, the power of a mastermind, guys, it was finally a member of a mastermind that I'm a member of who said, yeah, I do that all the time. Why would I do it any other way? Who persuaded me to go ahead and do that. And it's worked out fine. So I had 1,200 units, not a huge order, but it's substantial enough that it went wrong. It would, in my case anyway, represent a risk of about $6,000 worth of inventory. So that was, for me, you know, a big enough risk to be a proper experiment. It wasn't just playing with it. And that worked fine. So that's one way you can simply cut costs by just cutting that part of your supply chain out. And if you can cut something out safely and reliably and not affect product quality, then that is really the best way to possibly do something. Other than that, of course, you can compare costs between people like, you know, FBA inspection, Earth Class Mail, whatever. They tend to change over time to reflect each other, to be quite honest, but you can have a period of a few months where one is substantially cheaper than the other. So that's one way to save money at that bit of the supply chain. Then, of course, once things get to Amazon, and you can't really control things once they've got to Amazon, but you can see that coming as part of your product selection process, both the sort of niche you're looking at and the actual physical exact design product that you choose to go with. And what I mean is things like the, if you choose to go into jewelry, you're going to pay 25% commission. If you're in most categories, you're going to pay 15% commission. So there's a price difference right up front that may or may not push you towards or, you know, away from certain types of categories. But more importantly than that, if you want to change the commission, I suppose you can sell the same, change the sales price. If you reduce your price, you will reduce the commission, but you're going to decrease the income as well. So that's not really a profit maximization strategy. It's something to bear in mind. You certainly need to know your numbers. But more interestingly, I think, is that you can actually look at the cost of fulfillment and the cost of freight and the cost of inbound shipping as a function of either the size of an item or the weight of an item. And you've really, really, really got to do your sums. If you're going to do an oversize or heavy item, that can be a place where few people choose to tread, and that can be a great reason for going there, but you must do your numbers first. I had somebody in the mastermind the other day, and if she's listening, she'll know who I'm talking about. And don't take this the wrong way. I'm glad we called it before you went ahead and invested, because somebody was going to order a product that weighed 20 pounds in weight, and the freight was going to be frightening. The inbound shipping is pretty cheap. If you go to the USA, it's only 50 cents a pound of weight, but even then that's $10, right? And that's the cheapest part of the process. And then the Amazon fulfillment fees were going to be pretty astronomical. And when we crunched the numbers, although there was an excitingly high sales price and the sales volume was okay, the actual profit just looked pretty thin or non-existent. And when you're going to risk the amount of money that you're going to risk when you're freighting really expensive, heavy products around, it wasn't going to be worth it. So I would say that one of the simplest ways to reduce your costs is to keep something small and light. Having said that, of course, that doesn't tie in with the competitive advantage thing if everyone else is doing it, right? But this is not a general sort of mini series. It's very much focused on profit maximization, and that is not the only part in business that you need to think about, okay? Nevertheless, if all things being equal, if you can get your direct costs down, every time you make a sale, you make more profit. It's as simple as that, right? So that's a really, really powerful thing. To put it the other way, if you don't get your direct costs under control, if your break-even point is, say, and I've had this, I have to confess, if your break-even point is, say, $10 and you're only selling the product for $9, you're losing money every single sale. So don't assume that you're making any profit. And the last thing to say is that you, if you're not measuring all this stuff, which is a whole different discussion, but if you're not measuring your key performance indicators, and the profit has got to be number one, the gross profit and the net profit. So in other words, the profit per item without taking overheads into account and the net profit of your business after you take the overheads into account. If you're not measuring those, you're driving blind and you just don't know where you're at. Now, that is the most risky situation of all. So the final thing I'm going to say on this stuff, just to wrap up, only two ways to increase profit. One is, come on guys, say it with me because you know what it is, increase your income and, correct, decrease costs. There's only three ways to increase your income. What are they, guys? Come on, say it with me. More customers, average order value increase, average order frequency increase. There's only two ways to decrease costs, and that is to decrease the, come on guys, I'm not hearing you. Maybe it's the internet is a bit quiet today. I'm going to decrease the direct costs, which we've been talking about today, and the indirect costs or the overheads, right? So that is it. There is no other way to improve your profit. Now, there's a broad brush statement within which you can find lots and lots of ways to do. But if you just ask yourself the question once a month, how can I increase the number of customers I get? How can I increase the average order value? How can I increase the average order frequency? And you just ask yourself the question, can I decrease this direct cost in some way? How? Like negotiate or get a better deal or shop around more for freight or whatever it is. How can I reduce my overheads? Do I really need this bit of software? Do I really need this particular service? Do I need to keep giving my bookkeeper jobs to look at a bunch of stuff which neither helps my management accounting, i.e. do I know where I'm at with my numbers, nor helps my tax accounting, right? If it doesn't serve a purpose, question it. If you really don't have a good answer for why you got something, maybe you need to cull it. So that is my conclusion of this little five-part series on how to increase your profit on any business. Really, there's a broad business principles. They apply very much to Amazon businesses, but they apply to anything else as well. Hope you found this valuable. If you do, put a comment below. If you're watching a YouTube video, if you're listening to the podcast, then if you could get yourself over to iTunes and leave us a review, that would be amazing. Really would be appreciate that. If you're on the blog, amazingfba.com, this is episode 119, amazingly to me. So if you want to find the show notes, it's on amazingfba.com/119119. And other than that, guys, it just remains for me to say, be a pleasure to see you at the Facebook group, amazingfba.com/FBF, as in face, B as in book, or at a mastermind meeting if you want to go there, amazingfba.com/mastermind. If you're considering mentoring, you can check that out at the blog as well. But that's a pretty serious commitment. It's quite major expense for the mentees, and so it should be, because it's very intensive work from me, and I will only take on those who I really believe have a great chance of success, and then they're going to have to jump through a couple of hoops to prove that to me, including making a written application. If that interests you, it's all over at the blog, guys, amazingfba.com, and it's been a pleasure to take you through this and revisit this stuff. It's really good for me to remember this stuff. I say this stuff out loud. I know it. I've known it for a while, and yet I need to make sure that I apply it to my own business. So you've got some knowledge, guys. Now you've got to turn that knowledge into action, and that will turn into money in your pocket, which has got to be the best possible reward for action that you can have. Thanks, guys. Speak to you in the next show. That's it. Thank you so much for your attention. I really appreciate it. Now over to you. First, 80-20 everything. Learn the critical few. Maybe there's one thing in this podcast that can make all the difference. Find that thing. 20% of inputs, give 80% of the outputs. Which are the critical few for you? Then take action. Imperfect action beats perfect inaction every single time. Finally, and not least, review. If you've made mistakes, learn from them. If you've made a success, duplicate it. You can't do that unless you look back. So in summary, learn the critical few, then do, then review. And then, my friend, it's up to you. That's it. Thank you so much for your attention. Speak to you in the next episode.